We are going to begin our service with an invocation. And so I invite you just to kind of begin to settle into yourself and just to feel into your body and into the moment where you are right now, and to kind of let go and to allow the sound of this bowl, the ring, to help you slow down a little bit. Carol Borowick will lead us in an invocation.
I'm just feeling this beautiful stillness as the music of the bowl fades away. How wonderful it is, how grateful I am that we can come together, our spiritual family, today, and to share in the celebration of life, and to know and to remember that we are one with this life, with all life, and that life is good, full of possibilities. The divine creator behind all life that is creating the beauty and the love and the joy and the great abundance of good for each of us and for everyone in this world. For all living things. And I know that as we receive abundance and as we share it with others, that there's more. There is no lack or limitation for us in peace and love and beauty. And what is true for us is true for our family, the whole world. So I'm just grateful today that we have this opportunity to share together, to be together in love. And I'm so grateful, and we are so blessed by Reverend Jennifer. And I bless her today and her message for each of us. And I'm so grateful, and I bless Ray for all the hard work that he's done to bring this opportunity to come together. For Colleen and for Chris, for everyone who works to make these wonderful moments possible. And I bless each person here today. Your presence makes our time together whole. And each person in our family who is not here, but is here in spirit, I know that our day is unfolding with divine guidance for each person. And it is wonderful, and it is good. And in gratitude, I release my words, and so it is. Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to see everybody's face. Today, my reading is taken from 365 Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And it's entitled Unity. And he says, perhaps the most difficult thing for us to perceive is that there is one life running through everything, one presence manifest in everything, and one person individualized through everyone. The perception of unity sees through all differences to one universal sameness. But unity does not mean uniformity. We do not all have to be alike, think alike, or act alike. But the world is learning that we must all act in unison. The infinite one manifests in infinite variations, each rooted in the one, but each divinely unique in its own right. Today I seek my union with life. Today my imagination reaches back through all differences to the universal sameness. Today I know that I am in God. God is in me. We are one. Today, as never before, I shall seek to sense this divine union of the soul with its source and of all people with the infinite. If we would come to the universal wholeness, we must approach it through the law of its own nature. This means that we must give our undivided attention to the spiritual unity back of all things. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you very much. So I'd like to share with you right now our mission statement at Living Beyond Limits. And if you would like to say it along with me, you can do that. And if you don't, just I invite you to take it in. And it goes like this. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. And become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that Living Beyond Limits is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to awaken to that divine presence that lives within us. Through the words that are spoken and the readings that are done and the talks and the music and all that we do, it's really all about helping us discover that presence that lives within us. That presence that is the very essence of our own spirit, of our own beingness. Because as we awaken to that divine nature, and as we awaken to that presence of the infinite one, that then we have access to the qualities and the characteristics of that presence. When we realize that it is always within us, then we have access to love and to peace and to the truth of our own wholeness and our own authentic power. And when we come to realize that that is always within us, regardless of what's happening in the outside world, that then we are able to bring that forward and share it with the world in a way that is beneficial, in a way that is healing, in a way that assists humanity in its own evolution and unfolding. And so I say thank you to every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, and to be bringing that presence into this world in a way that is so uniquely yours and being a gift to the world because of that. So thank you to you. And so I'd like to begin my talk today with sharing with you a piece of the Global Heart Vision that comes out of Centers for Spiritual Living. This is two parts of that, and it goes like this. We envision a world in which we live and grow as one human family, one global family that respects and honors the interconnectedness of all life. A world where kinship with all, let me say that again, a world where this kinship with all life prospers and connects through the guidance of spiritual wisdom and experience. And it goes on to say, we see a world in which each and every person lives in alignment with his or her highest spiritual principle, emphasizing unity with God and connection with each other. A world in which individually and collectively, we are called to a higher state of consciousness and action. And so every month, Centers for Spiritual Living Home Office puts out a monthly theme can use in crafting their talks if they so choose, and a piece of the Global Heart Vision that supports that theme. And so the theme this month is the journey of discovery and unfoldment that comes out of feeling and experiencing the divine. And it comes by way of mystical experiences that transcend any one path, religion, or tradition. And so what does that mean, that it comes out of a mystical experience? So the word mystical actually means an understanding of truth, truth with a capital T, an understanding of truth which comes out of a direct union of the soul with God. It also means new ways of knowing and loving that are based on states of awareness in which God becomes present in our inner acts. And so I'm talking today about that journey of discovery and of unfoldment that comes out of that felt experience of the presence of the divine, that awakening that happens within us and the resulting journey due to that awakening. As spiritual beings, every single one of us longing within us to experience that divine presence, to feel it, to experience it, to witness it all around us, as well as within us. And I think that's one of the reasons that it feels so good to spend time in nature. Because when we spend time in nature, we have an experience of awe. We have an experience of awe all about the creativity that is so clearly expressing itself in everything that we see, because of the beauty that is expressing itself, because of that intelligence that is so easy to see when we look at nature. And so we experience that magnificence in ways like seeing the red rocks of Sedona, or seeing a beautiful sunset, the colors of the sunset, or witnessing a perfect rose, or seeing a snow-capped mountain. We experience the beauty that is the beauty of the divine expressing itself when we see snow falling, or when we see a rainbow after a storm, or when we see the verdant green leaves that are branching out, the new buds in spring that are budding forward everywhere. We are awestruck by that beauty. And in that beauty, we have this experience of something greater than we are. And we have an experience of being amazed by the intelligence of God that expresses itself in and through everything. When we see following the warmth and following the food so that they have enough to live through the winter. Or when we see something like an octopus that has the ability to change colors and to camouflage itself so that it cannot be eaten. Or how an octopus has the ability to release ink to get away from something that's following it. Or we have a sense of awe when we see a caterpillar turn into a chrysalis and turn into a butterfly. That intelligence is mind-boggling. In fact, I have a friend who raises swallowtails, and they actually lay their eggs on dillweed. So she's growing all this dillweed in her yard. And if that caterpillar creates a chrysalis on one of the brown branches, it actually creates a brown chrysalis. If it's chrysalis on a green branch, it creates a green chrysalis. That is intelligence at work. The intelligence of that one divine mind expressing itself in this world. And so we have this longing within us to experience the divine all around us. And we also have a longing to experience that divine presence within us. And we experience that presence within us anytime we do something creative. We give way to that creativity. Anytime we create art, or anytime we write poetry or write a story to let something come through us. we also experience the presence of the divine, the love of the divine, when we are loving, when we are kind, when we are generous, when we are caring, when we reach out and contribute or reach out and help anyone in any way, when we make a difference. And also that need that we have within ourselves to experience that divine presence is met through contemplative prayer and through deep meditation. For when we are in that consciousness of contemplative prayer or deep meditation, we have a sense of the boundaries between us and the divine dissolving. And so instead of feeling ourselves separate from everything, we move into an experience of oneness, where we are one with all that is, where we are one with that divine presence. Our boundaries dissolve. And so Joel Goldsmith, who was a Christian Science practitioner and mystic, said, "In going within, we do not turn to our own spirituality or our own goodness or our own strength or knowledge, but we go within to unleash the infinite invisible." We go within and discover that presence, the infinite invisible. And the more that we touch that presence inside of us, the more that we discover that presence at the very center of our being, the more we come to the world naturally as beauty and as love and as care and as concern and kindness and compassion. The more we touch that presence, it just becomes our natural way of interacting in the world. As we reach out in love and in care and in kindness and in compassion, we give expression to that universal love, and we give expression to our own spirit, our own soul. And as a result of giving expression to our own spirit, it feels so fulfilling. It feels so good to us. And so I'd like to share a story with you about a man who was extending his spirit in that same way. And it goes like this. As anyone who's ever spent any time there can tell you, Chicago is called the Windy City for good reason. In winter, when there's a stiff breeze blowing off Lake Michigan, pedestrians often feel more like popsicles than people. But when your job is strictly outdoors, staying warm and toasty isn't an option unless someone comes to your rescue, that is. Agier was driving across town one morning when he spotted a shivering tamale vendor braving the frigid January temperature. On the spur of the moment, he decided to make her an offer she couldn't refuse. Rather than let the woman who was wearing so many layers of clothing, and she looked like a bit of a tamale herself, instead of letting her turn into a tamale popsicle, Magier bought out her entire day's supply, close to 10 dozen tamales, giving her a big tip and sending her on her way. After she'd gratefully gone home, Magier loaded up the copious quantities of tamales he'd purchased and distributed them to some of Chicago's homeless population. Pleased with the outcome of the morning's events, Magier took to Facebook to see if he could continue the trend. Quote, "Anyone know of any tamale vendors that will be out this weekend in the cold weather?" he posted. "I went to Yolanda near Humboldt Park and bought her out so she could go home today. I'd love to do the same for vendors and distribute the tamales to our neighbors experiencing homelessness. Let me know if you have any leads, please." In the following days, armed with suggestions, Magier bought up all the tamales from vendors at three different locations. And again, after generously tipping the sellers whose trade had been severely curtailed both by the weather and the lockdown, he shared their wares with people in need. Maugier plans to continue his tamale runs for the remainder of the winter. If somebody in our neighborhood is struggling, we all... I'm not trying to save the world. I'm just trying to help people who need food. If I have the ability to go help somebody, I'm just going to go help somebody. To me, it's literally that simple. And you know, it doesn't even take things that big. It takes little acts that we can do every day in all sorts of different ways. And I think that I shared this story with you, but I have to share it again because it was so amazing to me. I was driving down the street one day and stopped at a traffic light, and there was a man crossing the street who my guess was had had a stroke. And he was walking, shuffling in little tiny steps, maybe 2-inch steps at a time crossing the street. And these two young men in their early 20s pulled over, and one of them jumped out of the car and went and held the man's arm and helped him walk across the street, and then jumped back in the car and they took off. I was so surprised because my guess would not have been that someone in their early or mid 20s would have done something like that. And this week on our Zoom call, Bruce Baker shared a story with me that he was at a shopping center recently, and there was somebody that was parked in the handicapped spot, and he hadn't parked close enough to the curb. And the man was in his wheelchair, and one of the wheels had fallen off the curb, and he was stuck and couldn't get out. And so Bruce went and helped him unstick his wheelchair and help him. And what Bruce said is there was a time in his life where he wouldn't have done that. Because what we were talking about at the time was, how has this spiritual path you are on changed you or changed your life? And that's really one of the things that I love so much about the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living. We don't teach you that you should be a good person. Instead, what we do is give you opportunities to discover that presence within you. And out of that inner discovery, you just automatically become a good person in the world. You just automatically want to care and to reach out and to support and to help. We become inner motivated versus outer motivated. Inner because it's the right thing in our hearts and it feels right versus what we should be doing. Colleen said to me this week when I was talking about the talk that I was creating, and she said, you know, helping somebody else, even if it's just as simple as helping someone put groceries in their car, is kind of like having a portable phone charger. It charges your batteries back up. It does. It fills us back up. And not in an ego way, but just in a satisfactory, fulfilling kind of way. And there are some times when we don't reach out. There are some times we don't reach out, assist, help, lend a hand, extend our spirits because we think we're just have too much to do, we're in too much of a rush, and we're just too busy. Sometimes we don't extend our care and our kindness and our compassion because we're afraid. We're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid of being judged, either judged by the person that we're reaching out to help or judged by people who witness us reaching out and extending our heart. Sometimes we don't extend our heart or our spirit because those people are just so different than us. Now, as other, they are another ethnicity or another political party. And therefore, we don't reach out. And I do understand that there are some times when it could be dangerous. If someone is mentally ill or if someone is high on drugs, it might not be safe to reach out. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the reaching out that we don't do because we judge someone as somehow being less than us. And we judge them as being less than us. And therefore, we decide that they aren't deserving of our extending our own spirits and our own loves, our own love, that they don't deserve our care or our compassion or our kindness. And so the title of my talk today is It's a Family Affair. And I'm talking about as we awaken to that divine presence within us, to that infinite love of the cosmos, that we come to realize and sense a sense of oneness, oneness with God and oneness with each other and oneness with the whole of things. We come to sense and feel that yes, indeed, we are all family. And in that consciousness of oneness, we give way, we give access to, we bring forward our own Christ nature. We awaken that Christ nature within us. And then we see through the eyes of love. And we see through the eyes of care and of compassion and of kindness. I'm talking about the fact that the divine within us and the divine outside of us is calling us to be it in the world, is calling us to bring it forward through our actions and through our words and through our deeds. Meister Eckhart, who was a German mystic in the 13th century, said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born. God is born through each one of us and through our actions." So you've heard me talk about Father Gregory Boyle, who is such an inspiration to me. He's the founder of Homeboys Industries, if you don't know him. He is a mother of God, bringing God, giving birth to God in this world through his actions and his heart and his words and what he does. He works with ex-gang members and people who have been recently released from prison. He has written two books that I cannot recommend highly enough. One of them is called Tattoos on the Heart, and the other one is Barking to the Choir. They are so inspirational. It is just amazing. His ministry is absolutely being Christ in action. Being Christ in action where no one is left out. No one is left in the margins, but instead bringing those people in the margins into the love of God through him and through his actions. For you remember that Jesus, the Christed one, hung out with the poor and the prostitutes and those who were in the margins and brought them into his love. In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, "The mystic Christ comes from the bosom of the unseen Father, proclaiming the love of God through his own love of humanity." We bring the love of God forward through our love of humanity. And many of those people that Father Boyle works with are actually seen and believed in and encouraged and respected and unconditionally loved for the very first time. They are transformed as a result of that. And so what I'd like to do right now is share a little 5-minute video with you. Chris is going to share it, that is a video of Father Boyle.
There was no homie that found more job opportunities than this kid, Caesar, who I knew growing up in the projects got into a gang, and a smart kid, but he would always got into trouble and in and out of being locked up. I'd find him a job in the private sector in one of our businesses, but he'd always gravitate back to vague criminality. So this one time he finished a four-month stretch in a county jail probation violation. There he is sitting in front of me, and he says what gang members often say, this time it'll be different. I go, So I pick up the phone. I call a friend of mine who runs a vending machine company. He says, tell Caesar he can start tomorrow. And 2 weeks later, there he is again, sitting in front of my desk. And I go, híjole, Madre Santa, here we go. But this time he pulls out of his pocket his very first paycheck, you know, and he says, damn, gee, this paycheck makes me feel proper. I mean, my mom, she's proud of me, and my kids, they're not ashamed of me. And you know who I have to thank for this job. And I said, well, God, who? And he looked at me strangely, and he said, well, God, of course. Oh, sure, no, that's right. That's right, that would be God, yeah. He said, you thought I was going to say you. I said, no, gosh, God's number one, yeah. He said, you are so lucky we're not living in them Genesis days. And I'm sorry, them Genesis days? He goes, yeah, because God would have been had struck down your ass already by now. People always ask me about enemies working together, and it certainly is dicey, at least initially. And they always do the same thing, they think, for a long-ass time, you know, and then they say, okay, I'll work with them, but I'm not going to talk to them. So I had this kid named Youngster, that was his gang name, a little tiny guy, and everybody called him Youngster, and I thought he was ready. So I bring him to Homeboy Silkscreen. So I'm introducing him to his coworkers, and I'm watching him as he shakes hands with every single one, even enemies. He looks them straight in the eye. And I think, wow, this is great. And until he gets to the last guy, a guy who seems to be wanting to avoid this encounter altogether, kid everybody called Puppet. And when Puppet and Youngster are in each other's vicinity, they mumble something. They stare at their shoes. They don't shake hands. Well, I know they're enemies because I know what gangs they're from. But he just finished shaking hands with other enemies. This is a hatred that's really quite personal and deep, beyond which neither of them think they can really get past. Well, about 6 months later, Puppet goes to this store some distance from his home. And on the way home, he decides to take a shortcut, so he dodges into an alley. And because he's taken this detour, suddenly, unexpectedly, he's surrounded by 10 members of a rival gang, 10 against one, and they beat him badly. He falls to the ground. Somebody finds his body and takes him to White Memorial Hospital, where he's declared effectively brain dead. But in the first 24 hours while he was lying there beaten in the hospital, I was alone in my office, 8:30 at night, and the phone rings, and it's Youngster, Puppet's co-worker from the Silkscreen. And he says, hey, that's messed up about what happened to Puppet. I said, yeah, it is. And then with a certain kind of eagerness even, he said, is there anything I could do? Can I give him my blood? And we both fall silent under the weight of it until finally he breaks the silence, choking back his tears, and he says with great deliberation, he was not my enemy. He was my friend. We worked together. Now, can I say that always happens at Homeboy Industries? Yes. Any exceptions? Not a single one. I think Mother Teresa diagnosed the world's ills correctly when she suggested that the problem in the world is that we've forgotten that we belong to each other. How do we stand against forgetting that? How can we obliterate once and for all this illusion that we are separate? For there's an idea that's taken root in the world, and it's at the root of all that's wrong with it, and the idea would be this, that there just might be lives out there that matter less than other lives? How do we collectively stand against that idea? And I suspect if kinship was our goal, we would no longer be promoting justice. We'd be celebrating it. You know, folks will say, no justice, no peace. But the truth is, no kinship, no justice. No kinship, no peace. No matter how singularly focused you may well be, we belong to each other. And there are no exceptions to that.
We have forgotten that we belong to each other. Meister Eckhart, that 13th century mystic, said, God expects but one thing of you, to let God be God in you. And so my question to you, for you to write down your answer so you can close your eyes if you want to, is how can you let God be God in you in a greater way? How can you let God be God in you in a greater way? Principle within you in a greater way? How can you bring forward the Christ principle within you in a greater way? How can you let God be you in a greater way with your family? How can you bring forward your own Christ nature at your work? And how can you let God be God in you in a greater way in your own backyard, in your own neighborhood, in your own community? And the last question is to ask yourself, what must I do in order to extend love in a greater way? What must I do in order to extend love in a greater way? Widen your circle, your pool of love. To widen that circle of love so that it includes more people, so that it includes those who have been on the outside of your love. My invitation is to let go of your judgments of other people. To recognize that those judgments of others are really based in your need to be right. And that's all it is. To instead bring forward your compassion and your spirit and your soft and open heart, to bring that to the world, to bring your spirit to the world. Let God be God in you in a greater way. And give way to your own Christ nature. Know that you are safe. And know that you are enough. And know that we are family. And that we all belong to each other. And as a result, we will all belong. As a result, you and I will be bringing forward our Christ nature into this world, the presence of the Infinite One. We will be bringing that living spirit into this world. For it is truly a family affair. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this pathway of self. Discovering the divinity within you, discovering and giving way to your own spirit, and to bringing that into the world in a way that is a blessing to everyone, including yourself. And so blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I take my attention from this world of form and turn it to that one infinite presence. That is none other than the very activity of love. I recognize that this divine presence from which all things have come is the maintainer and the sustainer of this entire cosmos. For it is that presence that is expressing itself. It is that presence that is unfolding itself. It is that presence that is projecting itself into this world. As this world, and it is indeed a presence of love and of creativity and of intelligence and of good without bound. And I recognize that each and every single person on this planet is that presence here in form, that we are each right now being lifted and carried and buoyed, and that that presence is expressing itself through each and every single one of us as a presence of love that manifests itself as care and kindness and compassion and generosity and reaching out and the realization that we do indeed belong to each other. And so today we listen to those stirrings of our own hearts and our own souls, of our own spirits, to be the presence in action, to awaken and stir the Christ nature that exists within us, and to allow it to come into this world in a way that is healing and in a way that is beneficial. And so I also speak this word right now for anyone who is experiencing the results of cold weather, for all the people in Texas and people across the United States who have been without electricity, knowing that right now the intelligence that God is unfolding itself through every single one of the people that work for the power companies and work on the grid, for the people who are delivering food and assisting in any way. I know that that presence of God is living boldly within each and every single one of those people, and that each person is guided and directed, is kept safe, is led to be exactly where they need to be. And for this, I give thanks. For this, I am so grateful. Out from your own spirit, from your own Christ nature, to each and every person on this entire planet, recognizing God in them, just as Jesus the Christed One did, recognizing God in them, that infinite power, that infinite presence, that infinite good, and the love that God is. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now, simply because we have placed our attention there and we have accepted it as the truth. And so I release this prayer, and in gratitude I say, and so it is. And so Karen Warwick is going to lead us in an affirmation.
Thank you, Reverend Jennifer, for your powerful message and prayer.
You are welcome.
We have a lot to take home with us today.
Thank you.
So it's time for our affirmation, and in your own home, you can repeat after me. Today, I release all judgment and fear.
Today, I release all judgment and fear.
I reach out in love and care.
I reach out in love and care.
I give way to my own Christ nature. I give way
to my own Christ nature.
We are family.
We are family.
Thank you.
So it is. Lovely. Thank you. And so I have a couple of invitations for you. One is next Sunday at 11 o'clock, we are having our annual meeting. And at that annual meeting, we will be voting in a board member to our board. So I invite you to come to that. We're going to do it on Zoom. It'll be this same phone number, but 11 o'clock next Sunday for our annual meeting. The week after that is March 3rd, it's the first Sunday in March. We will be meeting again at El Dorado Park for Sunday service, but we're going to meet at 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock so that it's a little bit warmer. I think it's the week after that we have a time change, which means it will be even a little bit colder. So for the month of March, we're going to start meeting every other week in the park, but we're going to be meeting at 11 o'clock. So I look forward to seeing you there and getting to be together. Invite you to join us for a Thursday evening Zoom call that we are doing at 7 o'clock. Lots of you that are here, do that with us. We're having a really nice time just connecting with each other and being in that presence of love and getting to share and getting to commune with each other and create wonderful bonds between us. starting March. Is it March? I don't remember what the date is now. 3 weeks, 3 weeks away, I'm going to be starting a class that is about awakening and walking the spiritual path. You should, if you've not already received an email, you should. If you'd like to take that class, please call me or text me or email me at livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com. I'm going to have Ray send out a blurb about that again today. So you'll be receiving that in your email if you want to see what the class is all about. And we are still doing Ministry of Prayer. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to Barbara Conant, email, text, or email me at livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com, csl@gmail.com. And we will get that prayer request out and the practitioners will support you during the next week in prayer. And we have prayer shawls for you also. And Ray Bunch invites you to join our YouTube channel so that it's a one click away and all of the videos are right there. And my last is, I'm so glad to see you all. I'm so glad that you're here with us. I thank you for your continuing support of Living Beyond Limits. You will see next week at our annual meeting how we're doing very well financially through this pandemic. And I'm so grateful for that and just really grateful for each and every single one of you. So love to you all. Know that you are loved and valued and that you are part of this family.